Thank you very much. How are you guys? Is there anyone in here? I like some response. And I told you earlier, I'm from an African church. And part of our sermon is that people have to keep responding. So please be a Kenyan audience for one night. Is that okay? Promise? Nice. Please try. I'm going to call Adam up. He's going to do a reading for us of a famous story. And then we'll carry on from there.
This is from Luke 19. And Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not due to the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he came down immediately. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost."
Thank you, Adam. I'm going to talk about grace, and grace, the grace of God. I know some of us might be called grace. I'm not going to talk about you, but I'll be talking about the grace of God. And I'll be using that reading that we have just read from Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to be looking at the story of Zacchaeus later on. But I'll begin with a story that is familiar to me. A young boy growing up, one of six, and watching the mom's passion for Christ. And the young boy desires so much to grab hold of that the mom has. That passion, that desire to preach the word of God. But he is very shy and timid. He doesn't feel that this stuff of God belongs to him. So he just stands back and watches as things unfold. Slowly watching and learning and wondering, how can I get hold of that which my mom has? And a time comes, the mom falls sick, and the young boy is 13 years old, and the world changes for him. Because the mom to him is a priest, is a connection between him and God. And he has to look for ways out, because there's something in him, something is being stirred in him, that he needs to know God. But he's shy and timid. He is not feeling like this is the stuff that he deserves. He's not feeling like part of the group. He's not feeling like he's part of the church. At the age of 14, he's worked so hard to be what we would call self-righteous. A self-righteous person is someone who thinks, I can be a Christian within my own means. What's Christianity is just being a nice guy, being nice to everyone. That's the imagination of the young lad at 14. But then something happens. He realizes that his self-righteousness is not helping him. He realizes that even though he's very good to everyone else is not doing the same. He's got like a bag of his self-righteousness. And he reaches a point where this self-righteousness is not enough for him to please everyone and to please God. And he feels broke. He has to look for some replenishing. It's like that time I came with my friend Julius, and him and I used to work in Berea before. It's like that time you're about 5 minutes to the bus stop, you've got your ticket in your phone, and the phone is running out of charge. And you know what happens? If you don't show them the ticket, you can't go. But that is how that young boy is feeling. He has clung onto his self-righteousness so long, but it's not enough. And then, through the word of God, through the preaching of the word of God, in a radio, he hears the good news. And the grace of God dawns upon him, and he realizes that Christianity is not about him trying to reach God, but it's about God trying to reach him. And there comes the invite. Is he going to give his hand to Jesus so he can walk alongside him and become a Christian? That's me. That's my story. I always thought I could work it out by my own. Until the whole concept of the grace of God became clear to me. And that God's revelation and knowing that. One of the things that sets Christianity apart from all other religions is that most of the other religions is people trying to look for God in their own ways, in their own lifestyles. But Christianity is God looking for his own people. I don't know what definitions you would have of grace. Just chat with the person next to you, and if you know, you don't have to know, what one word or one sentence would you say grace is? Just ask them if they know, and if they don't know, I'm not going to punish anyone for that. What is the grace of God? Okay, I'm going to take some free responses. If you feel like you want to share what your friend said the grace was. Anyone who is courageous enough yet? So you give something up that you don't want back. Okay, you don't want anything back for it. So it's like a gift, a free gift for nothing, for payment. Any other views? Yes, Adam? It's an undeserved gift. So there is a person who is receiving it. There is a person who is giving it. Final one. No worries. So the grace of God, as I said earlier, is what came clear to me, to my heart and mind, when I believed in God. So it's all the good things that we would desire, all the good things, the life itself. It is a compilation of all those good things that we would desire in life. But that is only one aspect of grace. There is another aspect of grace which we'll be looking into further, and that's the saving grace of God. But it's that combination, the kindness of God, the compassion. It is all those things that we have as Christians. So the collection of those things can be defined as grace. But we have the grace of God as his compassion and his kindness, his love to us. And the main thing is he's stepping down from heaven and coming to look for you and I. I don't know what age you're in, but we all have that feeling in us. Because like Zacchaeus, we'll be looking into later, he knew there was something in him. Are you imagining tax collectors were like the most hated guys? Let's try and imagine. We don't have a tree in here. If we had, we would have told one of you to go on top of the tree and we could have the visual aid. But imagine someone of his age and stature going up the tree just to look at Jesus and maybe know what he has brought them. So the grace of God, I don't want to say it's not a commodity. It is not an object. It is the wholeness of God, the power of God beaming upon us, not to scare us away, but to make us part of that kingdom. It is that wholeness of God, that totality of God working in our lives. And some of you have said it is not deserved. It is unmerited. That's the common definition of grace, unmerited favor. But a favor, we would take a favor as like a small, will you do me a favor? Ask Adam, will you do me a favor? Will you read it? If we think of it that way, we would lose the big meaning of it because it's bigger than a favor. It's bigger than that. Because it's the wholeness of God working in us to save us. It is God's sufficiency in our lives of us as Christians being able to do what God wants with us. And as I said, Christianity, what sets it apart from all other religions is because of grace. We do not have to work for it. And that's the amazing thing. I was at that age, at age 14, I felt Even if I was to work for it, how would I do it? A 14-year-old, I had a small Gideon's Bible, but my English was not very good. So I would read a passage very many times to try and understand, not first the reading, but the language. But still, God showed me His love. He showed me His grace. In one of the slides is a picture of Jesus coming down to pick us from our storm. So what grace means to us is we are in a storm of life and we are looking for a way out. But the reason why we have that looking for a way out is because the grace of God is already working in us. And who is this grace for? It's for all of us. It is not limited. So we have the two common definitions. We have the common grace and we have the saving grace of God. The common grace is for all people. And everyone will ask us, is everyone a child of God? Yes, because we are part of His creation. But not everyone is a son and daughter of God. So the common grace makes all the people God's creation. And that comes with the created aspect of God. God has created so many things. Eh? We had the vegetables and our fruits game. All those are His creation. The common grace is what is created. But there is the saving grace, which my emphasis is upon this night. The saving grace of God. And what the saving grace of God, how it happens to our lives, is because we realize that there's something we need so much, but it's not within our reach. It is not within our reach. And that desire is put in us in Jesus. It is the redemption of God, redeeming us. That's a big, is a long word. And my good friend Matt said, if you use big words, please elaborate. It is good to elaborate. Redemption, to redeem something, is to buy it back to where it belongs or to whom it is for. So Jesus buys us back to Himself and He calls us sons and daughters. And we are His brothers and we are His sisters. It is a privilege to be called a brother or a sister to Jesus. It is such an amazing thing. The story we read earlier is about a guy called Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, as I said, he was a tax collector. And during the Roman Empire, those were the most hated guys. Why? Because they would tax you on everything. The number of legs on your sheep, the number of legs in your cow. They would use anything to ensure they get as much money from everyone. They would base their taxes on anything. So people didn't like them at all. And there he is, on top of a tree. But the good thing, you know, God must have been working in him. Why was he following the crowd? He knew this guy who they were following is the savior of the world. He knew he was a good guy. He would have gone there and hanged out with some bad guys. But something inside him was keeping him going. He kept going and following this Jesus that he didn't know much about. But there was something working in him. And he didn't just go, but he went on top of a tree. Why did he do that? Something must have been working in him. I mean, we are talking of someone who, if people see you coming close, they don't want to be associated with. He didn't deserve it. But when he goes on top of the tree, Jesus acknowledges him. And he looked and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. How did Jesus know his name? He didn't. He only did it because he had God in him. He called him by name. And when Jesus calls you by name, and that is the beaming of the grace of God, you know, like I did when I was 14, you know that it's just, it's not just a common voice. It is His voice filled with power, with love, with compassion, with kindness, with forgiveness. He's not coming to condemn you, but He's coming to tell you, I want you to come with me. I want you to be with me at home in God's presence. So Jesus goes ahead and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'll be your visitor today. And everyone is murmuring and wondering, why? Why is He inviting this guy? This is one of the worst guys in the village. No one wants to even go close to his home. But the reason why I'm giving you these two illustrations, the illustration I told you of myself and Zacchaeus, is all of us receive the grace of God at different points in our lives. And we receive it from different points away from God. There is some people who will argue that we are born good and then we become bad. I thought the same. And I really struggled with that. I thought my self-righteousness would do a lot of good to me. But it didn't. It wasn't enough. I hated wronging people. I hated being in trouble. But that wasn't enough. I couldn't be able to fulfill all righteousness on my own. It is only for the grace of God that we as Christians receive the goodness and the fullness of God. So Jesus calls Zacchaeus down and he goes and dines with him. And his life, out of this call, his life is transformed. You see, he didn't preach to him. He didn't give him a word to read. But his presence with him already was changing his heart. Such that when everyone gathered and complained, he said, I will give part of my wealth to them. He hasn't preached to him. He hasn't sat down with him to read the Bible. But because Jesus is the one who is the fullness of God, and he is the one who carries the grace with him, when he interacted with Zacchaeus, his life started to change. And that is what grace does to us. It starts a new process in our lives, and we are not the same anymore. That is what happened to me. I was, just to give you a bit of my church, old days in church. In our old church, my mom would sit in a different side to my grandma. I would go for Sunday school practice. We would learn the verses. We would memorize it. We would learn the songs. But there was a culture which we still have in some of the churches today. There's nothing wrong with it. That when the children come from their area of study and worship, they come and do a presentation at the front. Does that ring a bell? Some of the churches. Are you there, guys? Is everyone there? Is anyone there? Great. Don't fall asleep. So I was very shy in my growing up. So when we came back from our classrooms to from Sunday school classes, we were meant to go straight to the front. I would not have the courage to do that. I thought, I don't know why, but I didn't have the courage to do that. So I would go to my mom first, and she would insist, you must go, you have learned the verse, you know the songs, go. What I would do is I would go to where my grandma was. And then she would send me to the front. And I wouldn't, I would go back to the mom. And that, I spent about 4 of my childhood years doing that. I didn't believe this stuff was mine. I knew I would do the right things at home, I would be the right boy, I wouldn't want to get in trouble. But that wasn't enough. Then there is this guy, Zacchaeus. He is a tax collector. He's a bad guy. Actually bad. But he also was far from the grace of God. For me, I was far because of my self-righteousness. I thought I would do it on my own. I thought I could be like Jesus wanted me to be on my own. And then Zacchaeus is there. Everyone doesn't think that he deserves anything of God. But God knows that he also is part of why he came. So when Jesus calls him to the front and he dines in his house, the message he is saying, the message he's sending across to us, is the message that became clear to the guy called John Newton, the writer of The Amazing Grace. When that light of the grace of God came to him, he was saved. And he said, this amazing grace has saved a wretch like me. When the grace of God comes to us, something changes. We are not the same anymore. And my prayer tonight is that God's grace can reach all of us in a unique way. What is this grace, the grace of God, for? I've got a few things to point us towards that. Why do we need it? What is it for? If you can move down, please. Great. I've been explaining about salvation. And salvation is what connects us with God. It makes us his children. And it makes us the siblings to Jesus. So we need the grace of God for our salvation. There's no other way we can become Christians apart from the grace. And salvation to us, it is not the work we do. It is the work that Jesus has done. I'll just give you two words to help you remember that. There's the price. We've got a price here. There's a price and there's a prize. So Jesus does the price. He pays the price. He incurs the cost. He does everything for us. So he goes down for us. He carries the burden for us. He does everything that is meant to be done for salvation to become what is meant to be. He does that for us. He pays the price. And all he asks of us is to receive the prize of salvation. Freely he gives it to us. Because part of God being gracious is also part of him being merciful. And what is being merciful? It is not giving us what we deserve because of our sinfulness. So when we realize we are sinners, we realize we need to be punished. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So the punishment is death. And that spiritual death, disconnection from God. But Jesus pays the price for us, and he gives us the price. So the outworking of grace in its overflow, when that beam of love and care comes to us, it gives us salvation. It helps us to know that we don't have to work for it. We don't have to look any good for it. We don't have to be so smart for it. We don't have to read all of the Bible for it. We just have to receive it. And there the light comes and we are able to see Jesus. So that's the first portion and the main one, the salvation. And then we also need that for our security, our assurance. Our salvation has to be assured that I'm not just a Christian today, but all of my life. The Bible says in Romans that nothing can separate us from that we have received from God. So there is the security. And there is also a reading that says we have been marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. And that is the working of the grace of God. So if we have become Christians, then we are assured that one day we will be with God in the other end. And not just then, but every day of our lives, we can be with him. Then there's this big word of sanctification or sanctifying or cleansing or redeeming. That is taking the guilt away, taking the shame away, taking the burden away, and also taking the fear away. So that when the grace of God comes to us, when it comes to the time of worship, when it comes to us sharing our stories, the fear is gone. We have the confidence to do it. And that is the grace of God working in us. It takes all those negative things away. So Jesus pays the price. We receive the price. And that is the grace of God working in our lives. So there is that sanctification. We would not do it for ourselves. In the old days, they used to slaughter sheep and sacrifice them to pay the price. But Jesus is our ultimate price, the main price that God needed of us. And the wrath of God was satisfied through that. So we don't need to do anything for us to earn that. All we need to do is to accept the price that comes out of the price that he pays. And then the other bit is our service. God calls us to serve him. The best illustration he used, him being the king of all the kings, going down to his knee and washing his disciples' feet. You cannot do that without the grace. Because our world, we live in a world where if you are at the top, you are the one who is being served. But the ministry of God's word, whether it's in music, whichever way, whether it's in youth work, whether it's in ordained ministry, the ministry of God's word is a service. It's only God who can enable us to be servants. We are in a culture where if you become a leader, you boss people around. But Jesus' calling to us is the other way around. And we can't do that without the grace. We cannot do that without the grace. And then speaking his word, it helps us to speak his word without fear. This grace helps us to do so. You guys are in schools where you might be the only Christian in your year. You might be the only Christian in your whole school. I've got one of my young people who is in year 6. and he keeps getting told off by other children because he's a Christian. But the grace of God enables you to just carry on speaking out the good words without fear. And singing and worshiping God, that's the other thing the grace of God enables us to do. You don't have to lead at the front. I'm very, very grateful to the guys who can do that. But even in your own time, just singing them off the key, without fear. You know, when you sing alone, no, you don't have to worry about whether you're off the key or no, or you're singing on the right note or no. But that, the grace of God gives us a song in our hearts. And that is how people come up with music. The grace of God allows them to get that. The song, God plants a song in our hearts, a song of praise, a song of thanksgiving, a song of joy, which people express either by writing music or writing other stuff or even just singing random things as an expression of the grace of God coming into our lives. And then it sustains us in Christianity. It keeps us going on and on and on, because this invitation is not a one-day invitation. When God invites us to his kingdom, it is not just for this time we are in this world, but even beyond. And the last thing is the grace through suffering. And that's the hard one. Other times, the suffering will not be taken away, but God will give us the grace to endure. Why? He gave his son the grace to endure it. When he was facing the worst humiliation, dying on the cross for you and I, when he was fulfilling the wholeness of grace, how did he do it? He suffered for us. Why did he do it? Because he had the grace of God with him. I pray for people when they are unwell. I pray for other people when there is issues in their homes. But there are issues that won't go away. But God will grow us throughout those issues. I shared earlier about my coming to faith. And my biggest influence to my coming to faith was my mom. And for the last 16 years I've been a Christian, she has been unwell. She's had a condition called schizophrenia. It's a depression. It comes and goes, ups and downs. And I've always prayed that God will take that away. He hasn't. And I'm not less Christian because of that. But I have got, the grace of God has helped me to endure the suffering. And that's what the grace of God helps us to do. Through the suffering, it helps us to endure. And most of us find that, most people find that very hard to comprehend, that the grace of God helps us in our suffering. But there are some of those 8 things that I've highlighted there. That's not the end of it. The grace of God does more than that. But as you think of the grace of God as the enoughness of God, that God is enough for us, that he is all that we can need, all that we will ever need for our salvation and for our lives. As we think of grace as that, there are some of those things that God is calling you towards. We are coming close to the end. And I'll be asking us to respond around those areas. Some of us will be wanting this grace to dawn upon them so they can get the salvation, the free gift of salvation, that which only comes through Christ Jesus. He calls us and he says to us, for those who believed in him, he made them sons and daughters, and he made them heirs. Of an heir is someone who can inherit a portion with Christ. Whatever God gives Christ, you can be part of it. It means God has written you in his will and his plan for giving out his stuff. So there are some of those things that we feel that God is calling us to receive from him. I don't know, some of us might be feeling like I used to, the self-righteousness, knowing I've tried so much by my own to reach this God. I have done all I could, but it's not feeling to be enough. It is not taking me anywhere. There's someone else who might be feeling the Zacchaeus experience. They're on top of a tree. They don't want to be part of it, but they feel that God is calling you to the front and saying, I want to save you. It's free of charge. But it changes everything for you for good. And some of us, God is wanting to speak something in their ministry. Some of us feel they are being called by God to come and serve with crops or other ways, serving God in different ways. So there is that. And singing and worshiping. So As we stand, our Lord comes to stand. If you stand with me, I want you to think of what areas God is calling you to in His outpouring of the grace. So just go down the other slide. There is one way of responding. It is admitting that we are wretched, a wretched sinner, like John Newton did when he wrote The Amazing Grace, and in need of a personal Savior. A personal Savior is like you and Him saving you, Him doing all the work for you. So for those who feel that they want that first-hand experience of God's grace in their lives, so we're going to be praying for those on this end. I'll ask the team to help me do this, please. If you feel that you want to make that first initial step and ask God, I want to say that I feel that I am a sinner, but I need this grace that you give. So that one will happen on that side. If you move to the other one, please. So that will involve willingness to accept that Jesus is our only Savior and allow Him in our lives. So He takes care of our past, our present, and our future. And then the final one is the willingness to enter into the full and complete surrender of our entire life with the Lord, so that He is fully free to guide you into His perfect plan and destiny for your life. So for those of us wanting the salvation bit, the initial step, please come there. And then for anyone else wanting something specific, maybe you want the grace, you feel like you're almost giving up in the journey, and you want something to keep you going. And then some of us who God is calling to ministry, you feel like you have a heart for serving God, either with crops for Gap Year or maybe in other parts of the world. So we will do that in the middle. And if there is anything else on this side, so, and I'll ask the band to lead us into a song as we do that. As they get ready, just remember something that I had watched, which is very helpful for us in our response. There is a short video, as these guys get ready, that can help us to identify where we are in this invitation for response. I hope the video plays. So as the band plays music, as God leads you, just respond. Go near a leader and they'll pray with you and pray for you. And I'm sure God is here with us. God is still speaking to us and letting us know what we need this grace for. So if you want this grace for anything or something or whatever thing, all I want to remind us is the grace of God is us getting everything from Him for nothing. So if you want a prayer, just spread your hands. I'm going to say a final prayer for us. Open your hands to the front. And God knows all of us. He knows what is inside our hearts. And He wants the best for us. And I'm just going to pray that He will release that grace to all of us in very unique ways. He's going to strengthen us in our ministry. He's going to strengthen us in our proclamation of our faith. He's going to be with us for those who are leading in music and whatever place He has placed us. So I just want to pray that He passes on His grace to you. Lord, we thank You so much for tonight. You can see all of us, our fears, our doubts, our insecurities, but also You can see our aspirations, our visions, our hopes, our plans. You can see them, God. And all I'm praying for tonight is that, God, You may bring upon us Your grace. Reveal it crystal clear to our hearts, Lord. Help us to comprehend it and know that You have given us everything for nothing. It hasn't costed us anything, but it has costed You, Your Son, who died on the cross for us. So I pray this evening and this night that whatever any one of us is desiring from You, that God, You can apportion them with Your grace. And give them the assurance that You are there every other time with them. That You're never going to let us down. And so, Lord, I pray that Your blessing will be upon each one of us. Your grace And the working of that grace can help us to know you more. So Lord, I thank you for everyone who spread their hand forth to receive from you. Just give them as you know them, Lord, as you know them as they will comprehend it, God. Lord, send us your grace. The Bible says that he lavishes the grace upon us. He sends it without measuring. He just gives it to us freely. So Lord, we thank you so much for your love and your grace for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.